afternoon. Welcome to Friday Lunch Hour. Evan Bray, great to have you here on what's going to be a beautiful day and a beautiful weekend. Looking forward to that. We have had a full show today. We carried Prime Minister Mark Carney's news conference live at 9 o'clock, his first address to the nation. We listened to what he had to say. He took some questions from the media there, and then you and I critiqued not only what he talked about, but what the questions were. They were pretty singularly focused on Donald Trump, on the tariffs. Not a lot of questions that focused on Western Canada. Just before we had the carried that live, I had Paul Martin on the show. Paul Martin joined us first thing this morning, Rolco business commentator. And one of the things that I was curious to know with the newly elected Liberal government, Paul, of course, is quite absorbed in the business community in the province. Is there a feeling in the business community that this Liberal government will be different or better for business than the Trudeau government was?
Yeah, I don't know that I have heard that it will be different. There's more of a show me kind of a view. They're going to wait and see. The Liberals assure us it's a different outfit. And I think at the end of the day, what the business community was looking for in this election was something decisive. So that if indeed the issue is we have to have a unified, solidified Canadian voice to take on the White House, we didn't get that. We got a split. And so let's wait. I think the business community is saying, all right, we may give you the benefit of the doubt for now because you're telling us you're different, but we want to see. So the proof's in the pudding. So I think they're kind of skeptical, but hopeful. I don't think there's a general view that this was a good thing or a bad thing. It was like, okay, now what? You know, the minority parliament, you always have the chance of going back to an election sooner rather than later, and that just brings more uncertainty again. So, you know, it's going to be a wait and see, I think, is the way I'm reading the view right now. But there is great concern, you know, about the look at the map. It's east and west. It's red in the east and blue in the west. And, you know, I probably used the phrase on your show half a dozen times that the thread of the fabric of Canada is being stretched here. And, you know, will the seams hold? That's going to be the big question.
Well, let's talk about that. There's a heavy discussion happening in Alberta, certainly about separation. Their government is looking to make some changes that lower the threshold in terms of triggering the public being able to bring forward a referendum on that. Their premier, Danielle Smith, saying, no, I'm not fanning the flames on the notion of a separation. I just want to be able to hear from people of the province. How serious do you think this is, and how do you see this playing out in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, it is serious. And it's, you know, this is not a new development. This conversation has been going on for a long time. I remember going to Moose Jaw, I don't know how long ago it was, and Ralph Klein was speaking there, and actually it was Gormley who was interviewing him, and in a public forum at the Wilson Theater, and I got to ask a question, and I asked him, how close is Western separation to the surface? And he said, he put his two fingers together, and it was probably like a tenth of an inch between them. He said, that close. So it's been around for a long, long time, and it's manifested itself, and then that triggers redevelopments or responses. And you think back to when Brian Mulroney was prime minister, and he put a lot of political capital into Meech Lake and the Charlottetown Accords, and the whole exercise there was to get Quebec into the Constitution. When that failed, you know, the next election, the Conservatives were virtually wiped off the map. And that gave rise to the reform and all of that stuff. Preston Manning became a figure, and Manning's response was, the West wants in. It wasn't the West wants out, it was the West wants in. These have been the responses that we've seen. But I don't know how many times you can do that before the West just says, okay, we've tried this. And I think back to, you know, and, you know, if you listen to the conversation, it's about just give us everything Quebec's got. We'll take all the rules and all the regulations, everything you do for Quebec, we'll just substitute another word in there, Alberta, Saskatchewan, pick which one you want. We just want to be treated the same way as them. And I think what has kept the West in the country, or this debate somewhat tamped down, has been the fact that there's not been an effective spokesman for it in Western Canada. You think back to how it happened in Quebec. René Lévesque came along, and René was a, you know, an articulate character. He was a figure. He was somebody that, when he got this thing, when he got the leadership, you know, he was able to rally and marshal support and troops. We haven't seen anybody like that in Western Canada. If you go to a referendum or something, I mean, maybe that figure will emerge. Who knows? But at this point, it's kind of just speculative. But, you know, I think back to your original question, it is real. I don't know how real.
And I think it's the question too, Paul. Paul Martin is my guest. The question is, what form does it take? Does it revive something like a Reform Party? Does it replicate essentially what the Bloc is for Quebec, for a party out west? And how does that fare in a federal election? Or is it outright, a push for separation? There's a few iterations. There's a few roads this could go, depending if those votes from the people come forward in terms of a referendum.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And the irony is, if you did create a Bloc-like party in the West, which was focused only on Western Canadian issues or Prairie issues or Alberta issues, Saskatchewan issues, however you want to phrase it, then it almost guarantees the Liberals reelected forever, doesn't it? And that's the sort of ironic thing, is you're fighting to get rid of the Liberals. And if you split the country up and you have a bunch of little regional parties, the one national party is just going to be, it'll be a cakewalk for them every time. And so, you know, this may be one of the reasons it hasn't manifested itself in a more formal manner, is that it's a pretty daunting task. I get the level of frustration that's out there. And maybe we just need to be talking about, you know, how we talk about the country. I mean, I'm really intrigued by it. And people like you and I, we have an ear for words when we listen to what political leaders say. And, you know, if you listen to anybody coming out of the East, it's when they're talking Quebec, for example, they say Quebecers and Canadians. They're separate. And even the Liberals, Trudeau used to do it, but only when he was speaking French, not when he was speaking English. But you'll hear all the political leaders, they basically salute Quebec as something separate, different, distinct, whatever terminology you want to use. And, that's maybe one of the subtleties that might get picked up out here, is to, you know, I don't hear people saying Albertans and Canadians. Maybe we will.
Something else I want to talk with you about. Paul Martin is my guest, Rolco business commentator. This is something that kind of just slid by this week, but the United States were able to basically make a minerals deal with Ukraine, and it's been a long stretched out discussion about the United States getting some sort of a thank you and guarantee for continued support of Ukraine in the frustrating war that they've been having with Russia. Is this something that is changing the way foreign aid is going to look? And I think my follow up to that is, Trump, I'm sure, has it in his head that he's done a lot and the U.S. has done a lot for Canada. Do you think we're going to see a proposal like this coming from the States for Canadian minerals?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, and the short answer is I don't know. It's hard to predict what Trump does, but it's never really been much of a challenge or a problem for American mining companies, for example, to come up here, or oil and gas companies to come here and work. I'm not sure it's exactly apples to apples when you make that comparison, but I think what we're seeing emerge in Ukraine was a far more draconian deal that was originally on the table. And then when Putin didn't want to play as well in the playbook and the sandbox with Trump, Trump was more willing to accommodate the Ukrainian demands, and this went from we're just going to take your critical minerals to now we've got a joint venture, and Americans will invest in this stuff. And let's face it, Ukraine has a lot of needs for capital right now. And, you know, if they did have a spare dollar around, would they put it into infrastructure and rebuilding housing, or would they go and develop a mine? I suspect they wouldn't. The mining would get pushed back. This is going to accelerate it, and this will create investment. This will create job opportunities. And so there is an argument to be made that this actually is beneficial to the Ukrainian side as well, that they want to exploit their resources, and now they've going to have the capital and a partner capable of doing that.
Paul Martin is my guest, Rolco business commentator. Just a couple of minutes left. Speaking of the states, tariffs, trade war, it seems as though things have subsided over the last little while. I don't know if that's just because the election has taken the front seat here in Canada or not, but what are you hearing from the business community when you are talking about what's going on with the U.S.? Is there a quelling of the fears that has happened?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of normalization here. I mean, we're seeing Trump back away from a lot of the tariffs that he had, you know, put deadlines on and that kind of stuff. And I think the reality is setting in the U.S. that tariffs amount to a tax on your own citizens. And, you know, real people, you and I have talked about this, don't really understand the machinations that are behind what the tariff is. It just sounds good. I'm going to impose a tariff on my neighbor. And then when the rubber hits the road and you find out what's really happening, it means that tariff costs me money, not the other guy. And so they're starting to find that, well, this isn't necessarily the way that they want to do. And I think some of Trump's support is disappearing on this. It's starting to wane. And so I think the business community is looking at this and saying, politically, it's probably not sustainable for them. So maybe we just bide our time here and we'll see if things settle down a little bit.
That is our friend Paul Martin, who joined us this morning right off the start of the show, talking about those Trump tariffs. Speaking of that, we found out yesterday that there's been a change to Canadian automobile parts. As long as they're compliant with CUSMA, they won't be hit with Trump tariffs. They had thrown that 25% tariff on all vehicle imports to the United States last month. They made a carve out for American made parts of cars that are compliant with CUSMA. But they decided to take it a little bit further. A lot of lobbying has been going on. The big three, Ford, General Motors and Stellantis have been lobbying the Trump administration for months, saying any of these duties will drive up the prices, devastate the North American automobile industry as well. So yeah. Trump also, by the way, signed an executive order yesterday offering automakers that finish their vehicles in the United States a rebate on imported auto parts equal to about 15% of a vehicle's retail price. So that's pretty significant as well. Another way he's trying to drive industry into the United States from Canada and Mexico, predominantly on auto parts. But nonetheless, Canadian auto parts compliant with CUSMA now won't be hit with Trump's tariffs. That was just announced yesterday. All right. Well, the Liberals actually drop a riding as a result of another recount, and Pierre Poilievre potentially finds a home. That next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. A couple quick things to clean up when it comes to federal politics. So the Liberals actually lose a number. They were at 169 seats, but they are today down to 168. So there was a validation process that has to happen in the federal riding of Terrebonne in Quebec, and it's resulted in the Liberals being retracted one, the Bloc Québécois getting an extra one. This process involves a returning officer examining the record of the number of votes at polling stations just to correct and make sure that the calculation is correct. It turns out the Bloc candidate won by, what, about 44 votes, it looks like. So that number goes to the Bloc, which means the seat count for those two parties now, Liberals are at 168 and 23 for the Bloc. And Pierre Poilievre, it appears, might have found his next home. An Alberta MP has announced that he is going to step aside. This is Damian Couric. He's a Conservative MP. He actually won his seat in 2019 for the first time. Says he is temporarily stepping aside as MP. And that's Battle River Crowfoot in Alberta, which is actually just to the west of Lloydminster in that part of Alberta. It's 82% of the vote went to Conservatives. So he won that riding quite handily. It's a sure seat for the Conservatives. The fact that they're saying temporarily having Couric step aside means that he will likely be back That's pretty big to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to step aside. I'm going to make way for the leader of the Conservatives to get back into the House of Commons. So no date or anything set on yet on that yet, but that is the news that is out there this morning. Well, as we wrap up another great week, I always like to thank the team here and my friend Adam Gruhl in Saskatoon and my friend Frank Ayler in Regina. These two guys are the tech producers for the show. If you call in, they're the ones answering the phone. They're getting everything put together. The sound that comes out of the radio is thanks to Adam and Frank, and I thank and appreciate both of those guys. Libby Gray, the executive producer of this show, I don't know where we'd be without her. Libby puts together a great program each and every day. And then the whole news team. We've got a great news team in both Saskatoon and Regina newsrooms. Dallas Dole, Murray Wood, the rest of the production crew, thank you for what you do, and thank you for listening. It's always good. This has been a full week from the results of the election onward. Enjoy the weekend. Weather's going to be great, and we will do this all over again starting on Monday morning at 8:30. I hope you can join me right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.